How do you think you have changed? Here you are, 100. Since even you were 60 years old or 70, that you have changed maybe the way you think, maybe sensitivities and all. Did that change for you over the years?
Maybe not much. I've got a hard head, John. So I haven't changed much. I would like to believe that I think that you need to do right, and you hope that people will treat you right, and you should treat them right. And I just think basically it's kind of like that. You should be kind and considerate of your fellow man, and you hope that they'll be the same to you.
Okay, did you always think that way, even when you were 30 years old?
Probably I didn't give it that much thought at the time.
Right.
No, I probably didn't think that way. I mean, not that I didn't think that way. I just, I was busy. I was single in my early 30s, and so I wasn't ready yet.
And see, that's the advantage of being able to live a longer life, is that you got to be more sensitive, maybe more willing to help people as you grew older.
Yes.
Right.
And you're more aware of it, too.
Yeah.
Willing to help, but you're also more aware, whereas you used to think you're busy running here and there doing different things, so you didn't really spend that much time thinking about it.
Right.
And, I think that's probably true.
So how do you occupy your time these days?
Well, of course, my wife, Duana, that is, and I also call her Donna Marie, but anyway, but she has to use a walker, and she's not able to do so many things. I kind of keep the house going, you know, and help her.
How old is Duana?
She's 10 years younger than me, so she's 90. She will be 90 next month.
Just think how fortunate that the two of you are still alive at this age.
Mm-hmm.
But she's 90. She's a young chick.
Yeah. I like to tell this, too. When people ask me, I said, well, we make it work. We're sort of like a teamwork. I said, I can't see the TV. And I said, okay, what does that say? And she read it to me, what's on TV, the screen, you know, even though I got a big one. And she read it to me. And then I can just jump up since I'm still mobile, I can still jump up and go get her a glass of tea. So I said, we have a teamwork, we make it work.
Okay, you references to your eyes right now. What is it you have with your eyes?
Macular degeneration.
Right, and how much can you see?
Oh, I'm probably down to big letters like this. I have an electronic magnifier at home. It's got a screen about this big. And so I can push thing into there and I can dial it up big enough to read it. But if it wasn't for that, I couldn't see any of that stuff. None. Absolutely none.
We're sitting across the table here. You can see me full.
Uh-huh. I can see you full.
Right.
But I can't see facial features and things. And I can see this mic here, and I see this bottle of water. This is a beautiful thing. I don't know what it is. It's pretty. But anyway, but I don't see details, and I just can't read.
Yeah. Isn't it interesting that you, an eye doctor, would come with this?
There's two kinds, John, in macular degeneration. They have the dry kind and the wet kind. And the wet kind, sometimes they can go ahead and give you shots of Avastin into the globe itself. And I've taken them many, many shots like that. But you have 10 retinal layers, histological layers, in the retina back here. And so when you have leakage back there, whether it might be blood or just body fluid, it shouldn't be there because it makes your retina puckle right there. And then, of course, you have distorted vision. So they have two kinds. The dry kind can do nothing, absolutely nothing. And if they can catch this fluid leakage back into the retinal layers early enough, they can give you a shot of Avastin into your globe there and keep it dried up. And but anyway, I hope to heck someday they'll come out with an answer for it, but they don't have it yet, not for the dry kind.
in your practice, you must have been dealing with people who were going blind, maybe,
mm-hmm.
and then they eventually went blind. It had to be tough to be with somebody who was gradually losing their eyesight.
Mm-hmm. And usually, with optometric field, we're not surgeons, so usually if you pick it up, you would go ahead and refer those people out to an ophthalmologist, and then it got under their care. It was heartbreaking to see those people like that. And now, for me, and of course, this has been getting worse and worse, and probably I'm stable now, probably won't get any worse. I'm as bad as I need to be. But I get around the house. I know where all the plugs are and all the light switches. I know where the carpet ends and the tile begins. So I'm not stumbling around. I don't know where things are. But when I'm out, Deanna will give me her arm, new places to go, and I don't see the curbs and the rough places. I have to sometimes be really careful that I don't fall, because I know that my age, I wouldn't heal well with bone structure being broken.
Right. And so I hear from people much younger than you who have knee replacements, they have hip problems. You never had any of that?
No. No hip problems and no replacement for knees.
All original parts.
Yeah.
You have all original parts.
Uh-huh. Isn't that fortunate? My gosh.
Oh, my.
Because, John, I do say this sometimes to myself. Why me, God? I mean, you know, I haven't lost my brother at 88, my sister. She had a cerebral hemorrhage. That was probably caused by her husband. That's a totally different story. But nevertheless, she died at 48. But anyway, it's not my family line to live like this long. And I do attribute a lot of it to the good health care you get today that they didn't used to have.
So when you were 75 and somebody said you're going to live to be 100, I mean, you probably say, I don't feel 100. Do you feel 100 years old?
To a degree, but not so much. I'm still pretty mobile, and I can get around for most everything, and I can reach and stoop and bend and all that. But I know that I'm limited, and I have to make room to be that. And there's things that I don't dare do, and sometimes I have to back up against the wall to be sure. And just be steady myself, and I also catch a hold of the desk and walk with it sometimes, and I didn't used to ever have to do that. I could stand for an hour by myself. I sat down more than I used to. But yeah, I'm limited to some degree, but basically I do most everything.
So you've accepted all this. You're
yes.
not fighting it. You're just accepting it. This is
no,
the way it is.
I'm just living with it, and thank you, God, I can still do what I can do, and I can still manage for me and Donna. So anyway,
You know, I think another thing is attitude. You seem, as I talk to you here for an hour and a half or so, that you have such a positive attitude, and that has to go a long way as well. And so people will say that you don't say anything negative about anybody. Have you worked on that? Is that natural for you to be a positive outlook person?
Well, not so much, John. I just feel like that most people are nice. And I think with most people, if you're nice to them, they'll be nice to you. That isn't always true, but it's mostly true, I think, that most people are good. And some of them are more giving than others, and some of them are more kind than others. But basically, I think if you treat people okay, they'll treat you okay. So I guess that's kind of forever with me.
You said earlier that you were hard-headed. Are you bull-headed, hard-headed? What are you?
Well,
all the above.
My wife is so much sweeter than me, and she's nice and soft-spoken, and she puts up with me. And so anyway, yeah, I just got a hard head. You got to prove it to me, and maybe that's kind of a bad point, but I accused my daughter I said, "What do you got? Some of my, a lot of my traits. Some good, some bad. And you need to get rid of the bad and try to choose the good, you know."
So would you say you're opinionated?
Yes.
Does that ever get you into trouble?
Well, you try not to get too involved with politics because I think I'm right, and of course they think they're right, so we don't. I don't want to pound on it because I don't think you can change them. They're probably not going to change me, and I can listen, and there's sometimes I have to alter the way I might think, but basically I pretty much stick with what I think, but I can certainly change it to agree, and if people can show me, and sometimes they do, and that's fine.
And we don't need to get into this, but as background, because people will listen back to this years from now, we are in 2024, and we have a major presidential election coming up in November, which is driving the thoughts of a lot of people, and probably what you've just alluded to there, opinions about politics and so forth, which we don't need to get into unless you want to, but it is a major pivotal point probably in our country, this election.
Well, John, here's the way I feel about it. Like I said, I'm a registered Democrat. My wife is a registered Republican. And I just think that we just need to be kind of aware of our nation and where we are today. I have a problem with people that might want to harm our country or do things that's bad for America, because I grew up in a wonderful time when America was still as it was meant to be, I think, by the original Congress. I think it's changed a bit, and I have a problem with that. Can't do anything about it, but I wish even my own children were more aware of the problems that we have today, and that we need to be aware to try to save America.
I'll bet you voted in every election you could ever vote in.
Ever since I got out of the Navy.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Because you thought the right to vote
uh-huh.
was so important.
That's what we fought for, and that's what America should believe in. They have a right to vote, too. But you can't. It's not free. You got to keep it up. Got to keep going with it.
You have shared many interesting details today. So your memory at 100, how would you describe your memory?
Well, I don't really know, have an answer for that, John. This is something you might or might not know. At the time, Coca-Cola had about a 6.7 or 6.9-ounce Coca-Cola. Well, here comes Pepsi-Cola, and they had 12 ounces, so they had this little ditty on the radio, and that Pepsi-Cola hits the spot, and 12 full ounces, that's a lot. Twice as much for a nickel, too. Pepsi Cola is a drink for you.
That's great. That's so cute.
And of course, it was twice as big as a Coca-Cola, and a little bit different taste. But and then they had another brand, Royal Crown Cola. They called it RC Cola. It was also big as never on the market. So some probably Coke or Dr. Pepper or Pepsi or someone bought them out. Probably you never see them anymore. Yeah, that was a little ditty that was, I mean, I always remembered it.